My father will not hate me, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, they belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will ask you to be much longer, for the truth of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Jesus, as we know, is about to leave his disciples. He is going to be taken away from them by death. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die a horrible, bloody, messy death on a cross. And yes, then he is going to rise from the dead, but not to live a normal life here on earth again. He's going to return to heaven. He's going to return to his Father's house. And so he is going to leave his disciples. He is going to leave them here in this cruel, frightening, unstable world. And he actually has a parting gift to give to them. This is what he says to them. I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. It seems to me that that was such an appropriate verse for us to meditate on for a few minutes this morning on Remembrance Sunday. I suppose in churches all over the country, people are really talking about peace and praying for peace. We're remembering the fact that peace came to Europe on November 11th, 1918. And then again, peace broke out across the world in 1945. And so there will be many people who will be talking about peace today. We know the language they'll be using. We know the jargon of peace. We hear about the peace movement. And we hear about peace talks. And we hear about the peace process back in the world. We hear about the peace dividend that is declared when peace comes to Northern Ireland, and so on and so forth. The world claims to be able to bring about peace. What the world means by peace is simply the absence of trouble. That if we can bring war to an end, if we can stop conflicts between people, then people will be at peace. That is the goal then for politicians across the world today to try to bring peace, to try to bring end to conflict. for a very long peace that is open with heaven and is a complete succeed in such gifts. Peace I will give you, my peace I give you. I will not give you as the world gives. Also, that's a key aspect of the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. There's the Lord Jesus with peace with God. The Lord Jesus with peace with God himself. Ever since the fall, ever since man rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden, there has been a war going on. There has been enmity between men and God. We began that war. In the Garden of Eden, we declared war against God. We said that we no longer wanted him to be our king and our Lord. We wanted to be independent of God. And therefore, ever since that day, there has been an ongoing war between men and God. It is a war that has been caused by human sin, and it's a war that goes on because of human sin. And men and women feel the fact that they are at war with God. Men and women feel that there is a barrier between them and God. They know that they have no peace with God. And it shows itself in different ways. There are many, many people who simply ignore God. There is a cold, sullen silence between them and God. They deny the very existence and the supreme insult that they throw at him. And there are those people out there who ignore, well, I hope we don't, but there are those people who you would be tempted simply to ignore when you pass them in the street. You say, I don't want to know them. I fell out with him 5 years ago. He upset me 10 years ago, and now we don't speak. Well, there are so many people who have that relationship with God or that lack of relationship with God. They simply ignore him. They pretend he's not there. And they go through their lives acting as if he doesn't exist. That is the way that they show that they are at war with God. And then there are those people who nervously avoid God in every way. They avoid thinking about God. If you try to invite them along to a church meeting or to a Bible study, you see immediately how nervous they become. And they say, well, it's not really my fault at all. And they start making excuses. Oh, you know, that for some reason, they do not want to be confronted by God. They don't want to think about God. They don't want to open his word and hear what he has to say. They want to shut God out of their mind because they're afraid of him. They know that there's a barrier of sin between them and God. And then there are those people who show that they are at war with God by the very fact that they try so hard to placate. They do one thing or another, as it were, trying to keep God happy, trying to get God on their side. That's the reason why they do those good works. That's the reason why every now and again they turn up at church, because they've got a guilty conscience. That's the reason why they force themselves to pray a few prayers every now and again. Because all the time they're trying to sort of patch up the relationship between them and God. But they wouldn't need to do that if it weren't for the fact that they know that the relationship is broken. They know that there's been a breakdown between them and God. They know that there's a hostility between them. They know that God is not their friend or their father. That's all the time that they are trying to improve the situation somehow. Most of the time they know that God won't be there, but from time to time they make these half-hearted attempts to try to make some sort of peace with God. And then there are people for whom their war with God shows itself in open hostility. The people who you can't talk to about God without them breaking out into a rage and anger. People whose faces become livid when you can't tell them that they were made by God and that they owe everything to God. And they become furious and
storm and the shout. You see that in Papua, so many of the people who are needed today, they can't talk about Christianity without fear. And you see it in there, in people who put on these blasphemous clothes. Why are they so determined to accept the Lord? Why are they so determined to accept the Lord of Israel? Because they hate him, because they're at war with him. They are consciously making war upon God. See, they're aware of them. Every human being shows that he or she is at war with God, that there is a battle, that there is a rift, that there is a conflict. As you say, some people just hate is there. Some people nervously avoid coming into conflict with them. Some people make because they're afraid of them. Some people are openly hostile to them. Are estranged from God. Men and women are separated from God by their sins. We came to make peace between God and men. We came to take away the barrier of sin that has separated man from God ever since he got there. There was only one way to do it. Exposing himself to the anger of God, the wrath of God that we deserve. That was why the Lord Jesus was nailed to the cross. That is why his body had to be pierced with a spear. That was why he had to be scattered. That was why he had to suffer alone in the darkness, in order to make peace between man and God, in order to take away the barrier of our sins. The Lord Jesus makes peace. He makes it possible for God to forgive sins and to bring those sinners back to himself. He makes it possible for the war to end. When a man or a woman comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come to him as sinners, and when we confess our sins, and when we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the war is over. At that moment, the moment I trust myself to the Lord Jesus Christ, at that moment, my war with God and God's war with me is over. And at last, I have peace with God. At last, I can look into the face of God and know that He is smiling on me. At last, I can go through my days conscious of the fact that I have God as my Father and as my friend. I can be peace with God. I no longer need to fear Him. I no longer need to pray Him. I no longer need to be suspicious of Him. I won't keep Him at arm's length any longer. I have God as my friend. I have God as my Father. I have peace with God. I no longer have to try to buy His favor because I already have it. I don't have to try to persuade Him to love me because He does love me. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, the war has come to an end, and the God who was my enemy has become my beloved friend, my Father, my Savior, my King. I talk to love Him. The Lord Jesus has changed my heart so that I can love this God, so that I can delight in Him, so that I can come close to Him with real joy and real intimacy. This is the peace that the Lord Jesus leaves to His disciples at His parting gift. He says, "You're going to be needed for a while. You're going to be here in this world, in this frightening, cruel world. But your life is still growing because you will have God as your Father, as your friend. You will have peace with God. Every day of your life, you will be conscious of the fact that God loves you and that God is for you. You're going to be able to tell
and the voice of the author of Nathan, and the truth, and this is the and
Moses taking so much of the whole Christmas and that they were moving my feet out to monitor the future. The situation that we saw was
we are so glad that we know the truth. Speechless and paralyzed on a hospital bed. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. If I say, could all my family be taken from me in one night in a car crash? The Lord Jesus Christ says, yes, it could happen. If I ask him, could I be left? As I grow older, could I become senile? And my mind just completely disintegrates. Could that happen? He says, yes. The Lord Jesus gives us no guarantees about what will happen to us here in this world. And he says, whatever happens, we can be at peace. Whatever situation may come, you can be at peace. And we see why that is. Because chapter, the great reassurance is that the Lord Jesus does give to his people. He says to every one of his people, whatever comes to you in this world, you have an eternal home. You are going to the Father's house. Yes, in the 20 years or the 30 years or the 40 years or the 60 years you still have to live in this world, you may face all sorts of agonizing pains and crises, but it is only for a little while. Beyond that is the Father's house. Beyond that is a place of perfect peace and perfect security. So be at peace. He promises here in this chapter that we will have God as our Father. Talked about this already, the God that we know. And he has promised us that our Father, who knows best, will work everything together for good for us who love him. So then, whatever may come into our lives, whether it's senility or whether it's bereavement or whether it's illness, whatever may come into our lives, the Lord Jesus promises us, your Father will work it together for good. Your Father will not allow anything to come to you that will not be for your everlasting good in the end. That's the second great reassurance the Lord Jesus gives to his people. That you have a Father who will safeguard every event. The Father who will not allow anything to happen except what he knows is for your good. And then the third reassurance that the Lord Jesus gives us in this passage, I'm only listing the things we've looked at in recent weeks, is that God really does hear your prayers. That here in this world, this unpredictable, frightening world, you are allowed to speak to God the Father. And you're allowed to tell him what you need and what you want. And if it's a good thing, he'll give it. And if it's not, he'll give you something better. That's the great assurance. That if we ask anything according to his will, he will give it. And then the fourth reassurance that the Lord Jesus gives us in this passage is that he will be with us always by his Spirit. That if we pass through the deep waters, he will pass through them with us. If we go through the fire will not burn us, for he will be there in the fire with us. And these are the reasons why a believer can be at peace. Not because the worst can't happen. Not because this fearful, frightening event could never come to pass. But because in every circumstance, we still look forward to an eternal home. And we still are aware that we have a Father who works all things together for good. And we are still sure that we can present our prayers to God. And know that he hears us. And we have the absolute promise that Jesus will be with us always, in all places, at all times. And so a Christian can have peace. Peace in every circumstance. I'm not saying it happens quickly or it happens automatically. Paul had to learn to be content. Paul had to learn to trust the Lord Jesus in every circumstance. But this is Christ's gift to his people. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give you as the world gives. The peace, so-called, that the world gives is very short-lived, isn't it? The world can't give us any lasting promises, any lasting peace. But the Lord Jesus promises his people that they will have peace with God. And he promises them that they will have peace of conscience. And he promises them
as they grow in grace, that increasingly they will have peace in every situation and every circumstance into which he leads them. This is only for believers, isn't it? The Old Testament says there is no peace for the wicked, but for those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, there is peace, perfect peace. And our prayer is that we may know that peace as we cling to him. We're going to sing.